everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Alejandro Reyes. And Alejandro builds brands and grows communities. He's most famous for building a digital strategy that took an unknown startup to $100 million in 2 years. And he now helps coaches plus course creators grow and monetize their audience with Facebook money-making group. So I've asked him to join us here today to talk about profitable paid ads and nurturing communities who nurture us as well. Alejandro, how you doing, my friend?
Yo, man, good to be here, Daryl. Super pumped. And let's do it.
Good to have you here. Now, before we get into all this, I'm just curious. Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? How did you get into entrepreneurship?
I definitely did not. My family, we grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. Literally, there is the wrong side of the tracks. And so no entrepreneurs, just a bunch of single moms. My mom, my grandma, my great-grandma, my aunt, my sister, like everyone's a single mom, bro. So we, there was people that were more unfortunate. My grandmother made sure that we didn't play victim mentality. And so she taught us to work hard and have a good attitude about everything. And then my mom, when she was working and some guy came in and said, "Hey, I want you to come to a hotel meeting." This is in like 1997. I was 17 years old, senior in high school. And she's, "I don't do sales, but you might want to talk to my son. He's on the phone all the time with his friends." And so long story short, I show up and there's like Porsches outside. There's Lamborghinis, and went to one of these MLM things. And a lot of people crap on MLM, but MLM, a lot of the best marketers and OG marketers we know got their start in entrepreneurship because of MLM. And so I love MLM for the simple fact that it really introduced me to the idea of leverage and passive income. And so, yeah, so I was in MLM for a while and I sucked at it for a long time, had a couple hits. And yeah, man, so that's how I got into entrepreneurship.
So you said you started with MLM, and that's what you got going. Was that kind of your first business then, it sounds like?
Yeah, my first business was working. There's a company called Prepaid Legal. There was legal services, and people would pay $26 a month, and you got a few bucks from that. The more you sold, you got a few more bucks from that. And I was terrible, bro. I joined a bunch of them. I was trying to figure it out. I knew that I did not want to go what took my parents to work two jobs and put sometimes Taco Bell on the table, sometimes Top Ramen. They worked really hard. Sometimes we had some, but it was just a struggle to see that, to work two jobs and not really get ahead in life, and for them to always be arguing about money. So I knew that the path of like corporate was just not something I wanted to do. And I don't hate on other people that go do that. You got to do whatever makes you happy. But for me, I just did not want to do that.
Yeah, and we need all shapes and sizes in the jungle. So you don't want just one giant society. That wouldn't be good for anybody. So I don't mean that one for free as an MLM. I think I paid for that service. I might have been on someone's downline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might have been. Yeah.
So what was one of your earlier businesses that, like, where you really felt like you were venturing into business? Was it the startup or was it before then?
No, I was doing all these network marketing, and then I met a dude. I'd known a guy for a few years, and he says, "I'm starting this multi-level marketing company. I found a doctor. I don't know the name of the company yet. I want you on board." And a year later, the guys, they're killing it. And they got investors and all this good stuff. Long story short, I ended up joining the company, made a little bit of money. They gave me a free BMW in 2008, and it was pretty rad. But I just did not love the idea of network marketing. You're basically at Starbucks or coffee shops, and you're like looking at everyone like a potential prospect. And I just did not look at relationships. I looked at relationships like, how can I work with this person to help me grow my downline? And I just did not like that at all. And a friend of mine, mentor, he said, "Man, if you could figure out what you're most passionate about and find a way to get paid to do that, you'll never work a day in your life." And this is 2008. I ended up starting an SEO agency at the time that turned into a paid advertising agency. My friend Justin Brook helped me learn SEO and then helped me learn paid traffic. And so that's the agency was my first business, not a network marketing company that I was under, but it was the SEO agency was like literally my first consulting business.
Mm, Yeah, got it. Yeah, Justin Brooks, no stranger to this show. I think he's been on three or four.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So you started, you got SEO and then paid ads. And it was just smooth sailing, nothing but success and sunshine and rainbows, or what?
I sucked for so long, for a long time. So from 98, 99 to like 2007, 2008. So it's like almost a decade of failure. So I learned a lot though. It's like a 10-year overnight. So I just, my agency started crushing. I started hosting these events. We'd get there's networking events. We get 200 people come out every third Thursday of the month. The first one we had was at like a Panera Bread and everyone smelled like bread after. But then big like lounges and bars and penthouses, like these, the Sacramento Kings, like they started inviting us and giving us appetizers. And it became this really big movement in Sacramento. And we used to do these big workshops with 400 or 500 people. And that really got me excited. Like, how can I fill rooms, but of people online? And so we started doing these events because of Jeff Walker. And we started doing launches, and how do we build excitement and buzz and energy to get people really excited about stuff? Apple does it. Tesla, Elon Musk throws a boulder at the window and it goes viral. Yeah. And so that was like, that play is still the play that I use today. It grew my agency to the point where I was on the news every single week in the Sacramento area, the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area radio. And in 2012, my wife, it was her turn. We were married for 7 years and she always wanted to go to nursing school and work with premature babies. And so I sold everything and we moved to Seattle from California to Seattle for her to go to nursing school. And that's when I went to that startup. And that's the startup that went from unknown to $100 million in a couple of years. I built a digital strategy there and absolutely insane of an experience. And I was having some success, man. It was like hit after hit as a result of sucking for 10 years.
So just for the people that are listening that are maybe new, you said that you were using the Jeff Walker model to fill rooms and workshops. And out of those, you'd get agency clients and consulting work. Is that accurate? You'd have a...
To me, the way I look at Jeff's thing is, if you think of an Apple event, Apple builds a bunch of excitement and hype to the point where people are waiting in line the night before. Jeff's model is building so much anticipation and excitement so that when you announce your link, your open cart, there's a wait list of people ready to buy. And so I took that kind of like getting people excited and ready and building hype and buzz for all the workshops we did in person, for all the events and networking events, to my bigger kind of events as well. And so I, as a result of doing that for my personal brand, for me, I ended up going from becoming the hunter to becoming the hunted. This is, the news wanted me. People, like, I worked with the mayor of Sacramento, who's a former Hall of Fame basketball player. So like everyone, I never spent a dollar in advertising. I did paid traffic. I've never spent paid traffic on trying to get clients. It's always been referral. And that's as a result of kind of building that excitement around the brand.
Right. Okay. Got it. And so you go to Seattle and you have an amazing 2 year, bonanza, taking essentially what you were doing for yourself. I see parallels to my story. I did that, grew a successful martial arts school. And then I went to San Diego and got connected with an online business that I used to grow my brick and mortar small business. It was the same, but it was just like, it's all the same. There's just more zeros attached, and anybody with an internet connection and a credit card that fits.
Yeah.
That was the same.
They gave me $500,000. It's easier because they gave me $500,000 a month spending ads. So it's taking direct response and applying it to a SaaS, software as a service company, and trying to take a company from unknown to becoming literally the market leader. And that's the thing that I'm a one trick pony. I do the same thing. Anyone we talk about, you're like, hey, I'm just getting going. Great. You got to build an audience and you got to niche it to the point where you become the market leader. Then you're going to start selling some stuff. All right, let's build some excitement around it. Let's build an event. It's like, I'm the one trick pony. So I don't even know why I'm on this show, bro. I got one trick and it's still working 15 years later.
Oh, there's riches and niches, bitches. That's a good. So you build an audience, you niche it down until you're the market leader, and then what? Then you run events?
If someone has come to me right now, the people that we typically work with now, they have some sort of audience, they have some sort of Facebook group, email list, or they have a big following on YouTube or Instagram. The agency serves people that have a million followers on Instagram or Facebook, large email lists. So that's the, but when I, my coaching business, we want to find people that have some sort of audience so we can make things faster. But if someone was starting out today, I would just let them know, hey, put together a workshop, run some ads to a workshop. You host a workshop in the group. So you grow an email list as well as a group member. It's killing two birds with one stone. And you end up, now you have a group. You could sell to that group. You can nurture that group. And your event or workshop, we like to do 2 or 3 day events sometimes, build some excitement. There's a lot of things that go into it, but we want people to feel pumped about, hey man, this is a community. This is awesome. I'm demonstrating how I'm helping answer questions. And so you position yourself as going from really an expert to an authority. An expert just knows a lot about a topic, right? An authority is different because an authority is someone that is known as a market leader, someone that people look up to and spend money with. So there's a big difference in my mind between that expert and authority. And so that's what we do.
How do you nurture a community? I know that we only have an hour, but and you know, let me condense 10 years of learning and fit, but generally speaking, is there a guideline? Like, because there's so many groups on Facebook.
Yeah, but it's more than a group. It's more than a group. This is what people, all Facebook groups, Facebook, it was like communities have been existing since, if you believe God, in God, and it's like Adam and Eve, he saw that Adam was alone. He needed to be in community, right? There's always community. So people are hungry. Yeah. One of the six human needs is community and connection. Yeah. And if I have a topic that people maybe don't have a lot of people in their sphere, like where I live right now, there's about 200,000 people. There's not a lot of entrepreneurial direct response guys doing what I do. So I spend time online meeting guys like Daryl because we have something to talk about. When we talk, it ignites me, gets me excited. And so the idea is if you can get the right community, not just a general community, but a very specific community, then I think it can work. What do people want to talk about? What problems do they have? What are the hopes and dreams? And what are they working on? What struggles do they have? Oh, you have a cool family photo. Oh, cool. Oh, you're a family person. So you just start growing this thing. The problem with Facebook groups is most of them are too broad. And so we try to be as specific as possible because we're a little bit more high ticket. We don't need a massive group. I have this event called Big Money from Small Groups because I want to teach people how to make big money, high ticket clients from small groups. And so that's where I think community, it's not about groups, it's about community.
Right. I love that. I love that. Now, do you have any tips for helping people niche?
Yeah, I think for niching, the first thing I will say is picking a niche. If it was easy, you have not become specific enough. Mm. Niching should be so painful. You should regret picking a niche. You should actually regret it. It's like right now, it should cause some angst. You should turn your back on people you love and that you can help so that you can attract the right people and repel the wrong people. Right. Especially marketers that are a little higher ticket. A lot of us are more T-shaped marketers. T-shaped being you have a breadth of knowledge, but you're probably good at one or two really good things. And so guys like you and I, Daryl, we can help a lot of people with a lot of things. Okay. I can help people. I can be the Facebook ads guy. I can be this guy. I could be that guy. But I have to pick an audience that I genuinely want to help. It's got to be a growing audience. I got to be able to want to serve that audience. And they also, they have to be willing and able to want to solve their pain. So for me, the way I niche is like doubling down on niching. I like helping people with Facebook ads. A few years ago, that could have been the niche and that's it. But then you got to take it a layer further for me. So for me, niching down to me, I can start targeting 18 to 22 year old people that are in college. I could call college students. I can show them how to build an audience, so that by the time they graduate, they have a group and they can start selling to them. But and then the messaging and ads trying to grow that audience is different than growing an audience of stay-at-home dads between the ages of 40 and 55 that have kids that are around 10 years old to 15 years old. They're thinking about their kids leaving the next 5 to 10 years. It's a completely, so we have to be so specific. And the problem with niching is most people think they want to hoard the entire audience.
They want everybody.
They want every, and yeah, you will not have anybody, right? So that's where I think it's got to be painful. You got to be willing and able to serve them. You got the expertise, or you have to at least have some competency, but you can get better at what you do skill set wise with training, coaching, certifications, things of that sort. So for me, I specifically love helping people with Facebook groups. One of the niches I focus on are Christian coaches. And so it's very specific. I'm not just niching down with groups, but I'm also niching down even further with Christian high-ticket coaches. And so that's probably one of the most important things, because when we create ads, they have to spell it out. People should never have to like, is that for me? They should go, dude, this is, he's literally talking about me and that's it. But people want to go big groups, broad. And unless you're like Gary Vee or Alex Hormozi, and you could spend the $20,000 to $40,000, $50,000 a month it takes to get 100 posts, piece of content per day, this is the alternative to that. And that's what we do, man.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's really part of the way of the future, because the way things are going right now with AI and SEO and that, I think that communities is a huge, going to be a huge advantage for people, because Google is talking about introducing a social search chat bot. So it's not even going to give you all the websites. It's just going to give you the answers from the site. Like going to the actual site is going to be five clicks deep. They're going to try to do everything.
It's crazy.
In the app, you buy your flight ticket. Where are you trying to go? All right, how much do you want to spend? It'll ask all those questions and it'll go and do the booking for you and just chat with you. And so all of a sudden SEO search for flights, Expedia, all these sites, but the people that have communities, like you said, those relationships that are really for someone, that's, I really think, is going to be a moat of protection around new developments. That's me. I should ask you, what do you think is happening in the future in terms of this?
I try to major, too many people major in the minors. I want to keep the main thing. Mr. Beast turned down $1 billion for his, Gary Vee said he would have turned down $10 billion. I wouldn't have, you wouldn't have. But those guys get audience more than a lot of us direct response guys. They truly get long-term marathon. Recessions come and go, but sometimes we play a very short economic recession game where it's, where the iron's hot, I'm going to make a ton of money. And then it's like the people that sold loans in 2008 are now like, they became life coaches in 2012. And so for me, at the end of the day, I want to build an audience and community that I have deep resonance with, that trust me to make good decisions. I think of Justin. Justin has Justin Brooke has a crazy, raving, ravenous audience. They love him. They buy everything. Justin made me a bunch of money last year as a result of selling one of my things. And that's what I want. And a lot of people are like, what about TikTok? They all change. Put this community on an email list. Yeah. Grow an email list. Build a community with them. Connect with them on a consistent basis. And the last thing I'll say is, this is like, why is audience important? Recency bias. People have recency bias. They are going to they're going to engage with things or people or programs that they see on a consistent basis. And so this is why people are emailing more. This is why people are posting more content. This is why people are running ads and growing communities, because they want to be in front of people on a consistent basis. Yeah. And so I think I wish our niche really understood the value of building brand and audience a little bit more than they do. I think the smart ones do, but a lot of the other ones are just trying to bang people through a VSL webinar or slam them through a phone, very transactional, versus building like a relationship type of business for the long run.
Yeah. I agree with that. It's a weird catch 22. You gotta, was it half of my marketing is wasted and I just wish I knew which half, but at the same time, like you said, it's not so transactional like that.
Exactly.
So now, what are some of the biggest mistakes people making with their group?
Publicly selling all the time. The only time that they ever show up for people, they're selling. That's the only time they ever see them is I'm in promotion mode. And so the only time they get an email, the only time I get a post, it's all like promotion. And I think at any given time, 10% of people are ready to buy from you. Another 80% of people are, they might buy. And then 10% of people just are lurking. They're never going to buy. So I think the biggest mistake right now in our little community is 95%, 98% of people are focused on the 10%. They're like, oh, I'm good, Alejandro. I don't have to build audience. I don't need to build that stuff for the future because 10%. But what ends up happening is that 10% ends up getting saturated or they become savvy and human behavior starts to kick in. And that 80%, I care most about how can I nurture the 80% of people that might be interested. And human nature would say that it takes several touches before someone makes a decision, but it's been so good because the 10% are just buying right now. Right. But as things tighten up, that people are gonna vie for, like, how do we connect with the 80%? And to me, it's community, it's audience, it's group, it's email. And so that's my belief. And it doesn't have to be a Facebook, it could be a Discord. It could be a Slack. Right, it could be Sam Evans with school. You know what I mean? And so I like Facebook groups because it keeps people on Facebook when they're already there.
Yeah, you're really, the benefit, I like how you keep emphasizing building an email list because it's easy to build a community on Facebook because Facebook spent billions of dollars to get people there. But you know that you can't export Facebook friends. You can't export your Facebook group, but you can import and invite people via email. Facebook, you can import them
100%.
You can import them to Twitter, all that stuff. I don't know who said it, but you reminded me that people buy when they're ready to buy, not when you're ready to sell. And so I think it's that concept, like you say, of just being in front of them. One of our other guests that's been here multiple times, I know Brian Kurtz, he's been on the show 3-4 times too. He always says not everything is a sales event, but everything is a relationship event.
And people so good
how you made them feel.
Absolutely.
It's that almost that green eggs and ham of like, how do you be in front of someone with value and a little bit of entertainment, but at the same time, come up with new reasons why they should act now if they're ready to buy now.
100%.
It's like a weird art versus science thing, I think. Do you agree with that? Do you have any tips for people on how to achieve that?
How to achieve what specifically?
Just the balance. Because you say like the biggest mistake is always selling. You talk about building community, but people are like, I got to pay the bills and keep the lights on. So, okay, I'm going to build a group. Alejandro, I'm going to build a group. I'm going to build an email list. And you don't want me to sell them all the time, but when do I get paid?
Yeah, you don't. No, I'm just joking. You definitely want to get paid for sure. So there's different checkpoints. It's all a dance. It's all a cadence. It's like baking a cake. There's a recipe to follow. You follow it. You're going to get good if you bake a cake for the first time. Might not be the best, but over time you get really good and 10, 20, 30 times in, like you're locked in. But if you're like, oh, I want to sell here. I want to do it here. I want to send this here. The cake's going to stay flat. And so I, when people join a group, there's these membership questions. Everybody's seen them. People ask a lot of different questions. One of the questions we ask is, hey, if you want to hear about how we help people XYZ get your desired outcome, would it be okay if we message you? Yes or no? So people came to my group. Remember, they're coming to my group. I'm not cold outreaching them. I'm the hunted. They're coming. They're knocking on my door, clicking join. On a private group, you have to knock.
Right.
You have to be let in. I don't let everybody in. If they're not going to answer my questions and I look at their profile, I'm like, I'm not going to let them in because I'm trying to create a good culture of people for my group. So when people, they're knocking, they want to be invited to your house. They want to be invited to your party. So there's a level of psychology and pre-selling that I think happens. It kind of starts to position a little bit like Alejandro's, this is his house. He's the guy. And so when people answer that question, I could see if I can flip 10% of those people. Remember the 10% are ready to buy. I can send them an email. Hey, Daryl, you said yes to joining my group, blah, blah, blah. You said yes to wanting some more information. Are you still interested in learning how to grow a client-getting Facebook group? No. Awesome. No worries. You're going to love the group. Check out the Start Here post and check out the free training. Just binge it like Netflix. If they say yes, then I'm like, awesome, man. Tell me a little bit about your current situation. What's going on? Tell me what you're up to. Hey, what are you working on right now? Travis Sago of Mutual, that's actually, I think, how we met originally. Learned a lot of that strategy from him selling through the DMs. And so I got opportunity to hit the 10% there. So without even having to do a lot of dancing and show pony and training, teaching them all, I had an opportunity right the moment they joined the group. The second time I have an opportunity is through my email follow-up. I ask them questions, I'm nurturing them, so there's another one. And then every once in a while, I might do a Facebook Live, I might make a hand raiser post. Hey, thinking about putting together a group of people that wanna learn how to do XYZ, if you're interested, comment below. And so my group is not filled with a bunch of act now, flash sale, you see all these different prices that people have. They're only gonna hear about it through the DMs or some sort of phone call. And so, yes, you can make money, but the idea is that, hey, I'm Alejandro, this is your group, I'm here to serve you. I'm gonna demonstrate how we're helping clients do this. And if that thing that I help a client do interests you, I would love an opportunity to work with you. It's not for everybody, but for those that it is, let's jam, let's hang out, and let's see how we can work together. So just a really different approach to selling.
I love that. So try and break it down for people that are listening. What he's really talking about is it's almost like a dating scenario, right? You're not sending penis pictures to people. Hi, nice to meet you, right? You meet someone, you go to a party, you meet someone. Oh, would you be interested in maybe meeting for coffee? And then they give you a number.
Yeah.
You take the conversation offline. So when you're talking about in your public spaces, whether it's your email broadcast or your group, you're just having like fun and valuable group conversations.
Yep.
As a byline, hey, if, and it's a binary thing, ideally. Hey,
correct.
This, raise your hand and we'll take this conversation elsewhere. And that's where people indicate whether they want to hear more about the offer or not. You're not selling up front to everybody. And this comes back to someone's got an email list of whatever, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. They're not just sending everybody the pitch. The idea is you're just being of value because attention is really important. We're in an attention-based economy. So you're trying to maintain that on the front end. And then you get them off. And you mentioned through the member questions when they come into a group, through your email, you ask some sort of way for them to raise hands, and then you take them elsewhere. And that's when you go through maybe the typical sales process where you might even try to qualify them again to make sure that they didn't come into the separate area. Hey, just want to make sure you really wanted this, right? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And then you pitch. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. I think about human behavior, like offline and online, it's the same thing.
Right.
The reason people were reaching out to me in Sacramento was because I was on the news all the time. Mm-hmm. They also reached out because I was in front of people at my events as the tribe leader. And so you have to be positioning yourself and you're doing workshops. You're the person giving the workshop, talking about how you're helping people do XYZ, sharing case studies. And so it goes from this having to brute force, I've never heard from you, join my strategy session, and in 45 minutes, I'm gonna brute force, use persuasion and all the books. I'm gonna throw all the books at you about sales and persuasion and get you to buy. It's not that, it's more of doing everything up front so that by the time you sell them, it becomes a lot easier. Do you remember mowing a lawn before it had like horsepower and a motor?
I know the little push mowers I used to play with at my grandma.
Those, you know, it's the one, you know, you have, even not the push ones, but the ones you start up and you still push them. Yeah. But then eventually they got horsepower and you push the button and it would actually, like, you literally effortlessly just push with your finger and it will move. To me, that's what I think. When you do a good job pre-selling people, Peter Drucker says, the aim of marketing is to make sales superfluous, right? And so great marketing pre-sells, great marketing does all of the things you need to do to build trust, to build bond, to build relationship with people so that by the time you present an offer, they're so ready to buy. And so that's the way we do things around here.
I love that. The emphasis is almost really on the foreplay versus on the, this is what it is and buy now and fear and scarcity.
And again, the 10%, that works. That can work. I think there's a place for VSLs. I think there's a place for webinars. I think there's a place for these type of things. But again, 10% of people, yeah, they're going to buy right now. But try to sustain that and build it scalably. Bro, you probably know a lot of these people. I know a lot of these people that people know their big names. And they're full of crap, bro. They're, a lot of these guys are not building sustainable businesses. They're struggling. It's so much of that garbage in our space. And they're peacocking and lying about numbers on their posts. It, bro, I'm in these conversations hearing from these people and learning and hearing about it. So all that to say, man, I think we have to build a relationship type business with our audience for the long run. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to be built to last.
Yeah, you can really see that. The here today is gone tomorrow. I've been in this for 17 years and I'm definitely got a lot of flaws, but I love when you said that. That's actually something that I think, I don't know if it hurt me, so to speak. I remember specifically a mastermind meeting I was at. I was in San Diego, not naming any names, but there was a bunch of people there and they were planning launches. And it was like, I'll use you and me. It was like, Alejandro, you need a product ready for February because you're up. And we're going to sell it for 2,500 so we can split that 50-50. And it was like a ping around, but there was no like, it needs to be tested that it works, this, that. And
right.
The launches unfold. And the problem was some of these people were big names and they would endorse a product. And then you have Joe Blow that's trying to feed his kids and he's in a basement and he buys it and he goes through the program wholeheartedly and he's not getting results and he posts about it and everybody shits on him because Guru is so credible and such an authority. If they say it works, then what about, and I saw so much of that. It made me.
It's disheartening, man. It's disheartening. And the last part of that would be, man, if you're high character, high integrity, understand a little bit about how to sell to people, how to build a little bit of community and trust, bro, you could build something for a long time. If you show up on a consistent basis, man, I think you can absolutely crush it. In the last several months, I met some folks. One of them was a founder of a very popular brand in our little space, had 100 employees, and the business struggled. It was losing money. But no one knows those stories. Mm-hmm. And so never, for those that are watching, never compare your life to someone else's highlight reel.
Yeah.
Because we actually don't even know if it's just a facade or if it's actually real. Yeah. And so many of us are like, man, I'm late to the game. I'm late to the game. Yeah, no, you're just getting started. With what happened with the pandemic, like more and more people want to work remote. They want to learn online. People are buying stuff online like never before. And so it's the greatest opportunity right now to make money if you're selling stuff online.
Oh, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And there's a billion people that are still yet to get online. And they're
coming. Yeah, they're coming.
Middle class in other countries. So
they're coming.
So what are some of the habits? Can you talk about like habits or rituals or disciplines that you think are required? You talk about the long term, the long game, building long term relationships. What are like, you need to be publishing something weekly? I don't even know.
See, that's the thing about publishing. Yeah, you should be getting in front of your audience and emailing them once a week, get a post on. But like what everyone's teaching right now, short form content with YouTube Shorts, short form content, LinkedIn, short form content. And then you got to splice up videos. You got to post it YouTube, long form. And then you got to make an blog article about it. And then 17 different ways that you could take one. Remember that? Like content syndication.
Yeah.
But with the paid ad, I could create one video and I could spend $5 a day and get in front of my entire audience. Then I can make actually one more video. So I have two videos running. And now I can have this perception that I'm everywhere. That people like, dude, this guy must be, because I see him everywhere. And so I actually think content is like the gasoline and paid traffic is, content is the fire, paid traffic is the gasoline. And I would say you don't need to post more content. You got to post the right pillar pieces of content that build no interest and pour some $5 a day traffic to that to position you as the market leader. One person that did this really well back in the day, and I don't have a relationship with him, don't really know him, exchanged text a couple times, but Scott Oldford did this. Mm-hmm. Scott Oldford literally went from nobody, literally no one, to being everywhere. I was like, dude, I'm seeing this guy all the time. And it doesn't cost a lot of money to put those video view objection on Facebook out there. And so that's what I would be doing.
Do you have any guidelines for what kind of pillar content?
Yeah. What is your audience thinking at 2 a.m. when they can't sleep because they're trying to figure out something? What is the thing that keeps them up at night? And it can't be ethereal, like stuff that's 20 years down the line. I worked with someone a few years ago who wanted to just do a financial legacy course. And I'm like, that's not going to work. He's like, why? It's what I do. It's what I teach people. I'm like, yeah, but no one's going to buy that online. And he's like, why not? It's because it's too far out. It's too ethereal. I can't feel it, taste it, touch it, see it. I can't grab it. And I said, he's like, what do we do? I said, what's the first most important domino that people need to solve in order to build that long-term legacy? And without split second later, he's, oh yeah, they got to build a financial budget. They got to build a budget plan. And I said, build your content, build your workshop, build your event around that thing. Because if you can give people, as Frank Kern would say, a result in advance, if you give people some sort of quick win, it's going to give them a dopamine hit. They're going to relate to you because you got them that dopamine hit and you got them that win. While everyone else is trying to throw the kitchen sink at them, you're actually giving them a win. And so what would it be like if I actually worked with this person over 90 days and I paid them? So now I got them a win for free. Now I'm working them for 90 days and I got them the next step of a win, right? Shoot, man, he's got this ongoing program that's for a year. Sounds like a mastermind. I wonder what it would be like if I got a win for free and I made five figures in 90 days. Could I make six or even seven figures working with this person over the next 12 months? Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think that's the way we like to look at things, is how can I get them the next step in their, wherever they're at. So what type of pillar content? I usually like to think of three different pillars of content. For me, it might be Facebook groups and community. The next piece might be growing an audience, kind of audience building. And then the third one might be, how do you use paid traffic to get well-known fast? So I'd have three big pillars. I could probably combine a couple of those. And maybe the third one's just motivation. You look at Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary Vaynerchuk talks about content. He talks about scaling, talks about empathy and care. So a lot of what he talks about, 80% of it, I would venture to say, it's right around two to three things that he's talking about on a consistent basis. If you look at all the big brands, it's usually two to three things that they're talking about and reinforcing it. And it sounds redundant, but redundancy in communication is actually a really good thing. You, Daryl, might be like, man, I've been hearing Gary say that for 5 years. He helped you get to the next step. So maybe you don't need that no more, but his macro audience, I tell you what, they do need it. And so that's where I would say, find three things that you can become known for and start talking about those things on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think as owners, like you say, we get bored of our stuff much faster than the market can.
We do.
The market is thousands of people. Geico has for 15 years been saying 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance.
It bounces in my head now. It bounces in our head, right?
Because they know that's the lowest quality lead that they can make work. They have life insurance. They do business insurance. They do all these other, but 15 minutes can save 50% on car insurance is the offer that gets people. And they say it with clowns, with a dog. They got a plane with a banner behind it flying through the sky. And that's just, like you said,
you got to get good at saying the same thing in different stories and angles. Yeah. If you can get good at, that's the game.
Green eggs and ham. Would you like it with a boat? Would you like it? You eat it with a goat? Would you eat it in the house? Would you eat it with a mouse?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. That's right. Dr. Seuss knew some stuff, man. He was trying to put that in there.
100%.
It's a sales Bible, green eggs and ham. That's not a
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. So you got to get that dialed in. This is great. You've given such great content. Some people may want to listen to this a couple of times. Now, I guess one of the things I want to ask, you already talked a bit about the future. What do you, let me say this then. What have I not asked you that I should have asked you?
Where can I send you money? You know what I mean? That would be awesome. But I'm totally joking. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think I've said, now, I'm always trying to think, if I had one last talk, to what audience am I talking? I always want to know who the audience is. But what's that last thing I would say? What's the big idea? And to me, again, an audience is the biggest cheat code. It's the biggest cheat code. And you want to turn that audience not only to an audience of people that follow you, but they become like a community and that has its own culture, has its own internal jargon. So you need a community, but where do you put those people? I find right now the best place is a Facebook group. And so we got to learn, what are the ways to use Facebook profiles to grow a group? That's a little slower, but I like to do ads. And so that's, I feel like I've tried to give you all the good stuff to really start growing an audience and getting yourself more opportunities. Because that's the biggest thing. If I did a survey, I think most offer owners that have an offer that's dialed in, it's usually a traffic problem that they have.
Right, not a sales problem.
It's usually a traffic problem. And so the two biggest things we need online is an audience and offer. But a lot of the people I work with and I want to, they have an offer. They just need to figure out the traffic piece. And how can I turn, I can target in my group, I warm people up, but how do I turn cold traffic into buyers within the next 30 days? And to me, moving them through a conveyor belt of Facebook ad to a group, to email, to group, to, that's the thing. Audience is the biggest cheat code.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So just for people, like, I got pages of notes. You talk a lot about building an audience, niching it until you're a market leader. And if it was too easy to pick your niche, it probably wasn't specific enough. One of the niches that he's focused on is not just Facebook ads, but it's Facebook ads to Facebook groups, and specifically for Christian coaches. That's how specific his niche was. Building an email list and a Facebook group. You really want to have that email list. It's the holy grail. But right now, why not take advantage of all the attention-getting algorithms to be where the people are. Right?
100%.
And that you have to nurture the group and build excitement. You talked a lot about event-based marketing and building excitement, anticipation for it. And then just connecting with people and having something to talk about. And we talked about the recency bias, that loyalty is a function of how frequently you are in their life. And that people buy when they're ready to buy, not when they're ready to sell. Talked about having a 3-tier or so process where you really, you've just got the public facing, where you said like your content is there. Like you may use your ads to pull people in, but once they're in, you want to have fun, engaging, value added conversations. And every now and then you want to ask and get people to raise hands. Hey, who wants help with X? Or if I could do X for you, who would be interested? Take them elsewhere for that conversation, qualify them again, make sure that it's appropriate, and then make the pitch for the offer and explain why it's right for them. And how it's really about building relationships, and this avoids just sending kind of dick pics in your group or even in your emails to everybody. Just, buy my stuff, hey, 72-hour sale, buy. Because the people that don't want it don't necessarily want it. Now you can send a promo, but maybe you need to send an email saying, hey, we're going to be doing a special on some of our things. If you want to see what's available, click here and segment those people out. You also actually don't know, I don't know if you said this, but you talked about telling stories. You mentioned that a couple of times. You never really went into it, but you like, the story's really good. And then you kept going, talked about the $5 a day using just 1, 2, 3 videos to talk about kind of 3 things you want to be known for and using those to get in front of your audience and then using them to maybe to pull them in. We talked about the things that keep them up at 2 a.m. We just, there's a Guardians of the Galaxy movie we're going to go see today, actually. And we watched some of the old ones. And one of the, when you said that, it reminded me of this one scene, this girl, she can touch and feel people's feelings. And she touches Quill. And she's, you feel love. And he's, yeah, I kind of love people. She's like, no, you feel romantic, sexual love for her. And he points to the girl and everybody around starts laughing because that's his deep, dark secret that he hasn't said to anybody. And so when you talk about what keeps him up at 3 a.m., it's that. If you could put an ad where they see it online and they didn't say anything to anybody.
Yeah, could
it's articulate good. That thing. And it has to be specific. You said that they can grab it. I want financial freedom. Okay, but what does that mean? What does that mean? That means, like, for me, financial freedom right now is I've got family spread across the world. I want to be able to bring everybody to one place and have a party. I want to be able to just, hey, don't worry, I got your rent, I got your bills, I got your travel expenses. Why don't you just come and chill with me and my family for a week? That is such a specific thing that is tangible to a person. So you talked about also in your process, just building the relationship by giving results in advance. So figuring out that first thing, helping them first, so you get to know, trust them, or they get to know, trust you. You have their attention. And you gave the example of giving someone a first win, helping them achieve something in 90 days for maybe a one-time fee or something, and then offering some sort of 12-month package on the back end. It was really dense. It was really action-packed. If people agree, if they're on board, if they're going, hey, I really think building an audience is huge. I think nurturing and having a community that you serve and that serves, that helps nurture you and feed your family too. If they want to know more and get involved and learn from you some of the intricate step-by-step details, where do they go for that?
Yeah, man. AlejandroReyes.com is my website. But you can connect with me on Facebook and Instagram, Alejandro Reyes. And I'm always doing a lot more workshops on growing groups with ads, growing, how to pick the name of your group and the topic of your group. So always doing that kind of stuff. Got some lower ticket stuff, got some higher ticket stuff. And yeah, if you want to grow an audience, and it not just because you're going to make money doing it, but you actually want to build a sustainable community long term and tap into it for years to come, then I'm the right guy for you. If not, go find someone else.
Yeah, I love that. And Alejandro is spelled AlejandroReyes. That's
Yes, sir.
AlejandroReyes. Go check him out. I'm a fan. I've known him for a while. We've been meaning to do this podcast for a bit. I'm glad we managed to get it. Alejandro, thank you so much for coming and sharing with my community and my family, knowing that you have your own communities that you can nurture. Really appreciate it. And I hope to have you back.
Love you, buddy. We'll see you. Peace.